Robert Haley stars as Charlie McMahon in Buy and Sell.
So, being as this is a celebration, I think it's not untoward to make a toast.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. As unaccustomed as I am to speaking in public.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Jolene, Constable Gray, today you received a commendation for bringing to justice the killers of a fellow officer.
And taking down a major drug ring.
A double hitter.
Great work. Oh, yeah, yeah. And while we're on the subject, there's something else to celebrate. After the last case, I talked to Kirk about Jolene making a permanent switch to Central Division Narcotics.
You're kidding.
You're not going to do it, are you?
Of course I am. It's a promotion and a good one.
Yeah, but it's the drug squad.
And what's wrong with that?
The drug squad is just so sordid.
What do you mean?
You're always walking the line between what's legal and what gets the job done.
Hold on. You work undercover, you make friends with people it's your duty to betray.
It's part of the job.
Right. And it doesn't matter who gets hurt along the way, as long as you make the bust.
Let's not get started on that again.
I was there, Jolene. I saw how he played you.
Yeah, you could have been killed.
You were in danger.
He used her as bait.
It was just my job.
Then why'd the commendation say above and beyond the call of duty?
We took a calculated risk.
You used her for bait.
Will you two stop? This is a party.
It was a party. Now it sucks.
I have never seen you like that.
Like what?
You were so rude to Lloyd. Like a jealous teenager.
Jealous teenager?
I'm serious. It's not like you to be so ungracious.
Is it ungracious to be concerned about a friend?
It is when she's celebrating a promotion.
Maybe you're right. But I'm telling you, that guy Harden is...
Charlie.
Okay. Pour the tea.
It needs to steep.
You know what? I think I'm just going to take off.
You're going?
Yeah. Look, I'm sorry, but I think I had a couple too many beers. I just want to walk it off. I can let myself out. I'll call you tomorrow, okay? Yes, fatty cat. You've been abandoned and terribly ignored and definitely deserve a brush. Stitching time clocks.
I just got an urgent call from their chief. Seems we got some problems. With the drug squad.
What kind of problems?
Accounting irregularities. He wants Harden's head in a platter, and he thinks you'd make a perfect executioner.
So like I was saying, this guy, he's 6'3", 300 pounds easy, and he decides he loves me. You know, not like he loves me, more like, oh, I love you, man. And I've just chugged 4 beer, but avoided taking the speed. Still, it's hard to maintain your cool. Go up to the guy.
Harden, Constable Gray.
Yeah, hi, Kirk. Hi, guys.
Morning.
Jolene, first day on the new job. Getting the lay of the land?
Sure. Lois just tell me about his first undercover case.
Yeah, a bike gang and moose job.
Yeah, great. Very funny. Listen, Lloyd, I've got to talk to you.
So talk.
In private.
Sure. I'll finish the story later.
So, what are you guys doing here?
There's accounting irregularities in the squad's confidential informant allocations.
The Fink Fund? What's the deal?
There's about $5,000 in payments and expenses that can't be accounted for.
I'm sure there's an explanation. Have you asked Harden?
That's what Kirk is doing right now.
If needed, there'll be a forensic audit on the whole unit. But for now, Kirk wants me to crack Harden's personal computer and see what I can find. So...
And you?
I'm the lead in this unofficial investigation until he's cleared or there's enough to take to internal affairs.
And me?
You play the devil's advocate. Kirk wants you to defend the squad and Harden as if your life depended on it.
A pleasure. Anything else?
Just one thing. When we get this guy, can I put on the cuffs?
No way.
It's not my call. The chief...
There's no way I give up a CI to the chief or anybody else. That starts to happen, you know where it goes.
Come on. The money did go to a confidential informant, didn't it?
You 30. That's as much as you get.
That's not enough.
It's an ongoing investigation.
Then show us the files.
You want to see the files? You find them yourself.
We will.
I'm out of here.
So, how are we doing?
I didn't get a lot, but sounds like Lloyd's been going through a rough time. His marriage falling apart, caseload's been heavy.
Anything he was especially into?
There's some talk about a heroin operation out of the Far East, but nobody had details. So, maybe he does have a case he's playing all on his own.
That's promising, in its own way.
I figured it might be interesting to compare Lloyd's withdrawals from the Fink Fund with his phone logs. One number kept coming up. The Quality Inn at Jones and Queen.
Out-of-the-way place, huh?
Yeah, so I went over there with a picture of Lloyd, showed it to the desk clerk.
And?
He knew him. Said he showed up pretty regular with an Asian babe.
Well, that's a relief.
How do you figure?
It means U-30 exists.
Or Hardin's misappropriating funds to pay a prostitute.
Thanks, I needed that.
Either way, we're looking for an Asian babe.
Which doesn't surprise me. I've been working the website history on Hardin's computer. The man's practically addicted to cherry blossoms.
Cherry blossoms? To me, that's a cherry and syrup covered in chocolate.
Maybe, but to thousands of heartsick bachelors, it's a ticket to paradise.
Right, keep going.
Mail order brides. Thailand, the Philippines. It's a $1 million business.
So Lloyd was shopping for a wife?
Well, maybe just a companion. And it sounds like he found one.
I managed to get a look at the phone log from the hotel, too. For Hardin's room? They were there 3 times last month. And there were 4 calls out to this number. Here.
I'll put it on speaker. So, you didn't check it?
I figured it'd be your call.
Right.
Thailand Trading?
Yeah, hi. Just updating my company directory. What's your address now?
1245 Spadina.
Good. And who's the buyer contact?
That's me. Kim Dodge. Can I help you?
No, thanks. Like I said, just keeping the phone directory up to date. Thanks.
Pim Dodge? As in P-I-M?
It's a pretty common name. In Thailand.
And on Hardin's computer.
So, he's telling the truth. And protecting a source.
Yeah, but that's not going to save him.
What will?
We'd better make discreet contact with Ms. Dodge. According to our records, you began receiving funds from Detective Hardin last April.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
When were you first approached?
About 2 months before then. I was afraid to talk, but Lloyd was persistent.
What changed your mind?
When I first came to Canada, my husband, Darrell, was very sweet.
Yeah, you're like a mail-order bride, right?
That's right. All this falling in love nonsense is viewed with amusement in most parts of the world.
And cherry blossoms set up your marriage.
Yes. Darrell has spent time in Thailand and admired our culture.
So it worked out okay?
At first.
Something went wrong?
He said he wanted me to be his partner in the business. I got my certificate in business management, but I was not made partner. I was put to work. I learned that Darrell is not a very good businessman.
In what sense?
He was interested in importing from Thailand clothing, but he doesn't look at the fashion magazines. He doesn't go to the good shops. I say, come on, we will find someone who will make us new fashions, cheap. He goes to the same old crook in Bangkok, buys the same old crap, bargains like a tourist. Then he has too much to drink with his big friend, and they go off to the brothel to seal their deal.
Which couldn't have been pleasant for you.
I was disgusted. And we can't make money selling this trash, not in Canada. But still, he doesn't listen. I show him how Mr. Lee, his big friend in Bangkok, is putting irregulars in the middle of bundles of shirts, thinking we don't notice. He hits me.
Right. When did the drug dealing start?
4 trips ago. Darrell finally complains to Mr. Lee, so Mr. Lee gets this idea how we can make lots of money.
Drugs?
Sure. It's easy so long as you have no imagination.
No imagination?
You can't imagine getting caught, going to jail.
So you warned him against dealing drugs?
He's too lazy and too full of himself to listen. We got big orders coming in, It's not so hard to slip some packages among the dresses. Heroin.
And how did Hardin get onto it?
Mr. Lee set up by over here. No problem, he said. Except his lazy junkie cousin is already under investigation. From the first shipment, Hardin has Daryl in his sights.
But the initial deal works out?
Sure. It's easy. Now Daryl has all the money he wants. He buys a Beamer and spends all day hanging out with new friends in fancy peeler bars in Chinatown. And I have to run the whole front business on my own.
So, when Hardin made contact, you were ready?
I thought Lloyd is my way out.
And you asked him for money?
Yes. I'm going to need a lot of money to start over, open my own business, once Daryl is in jail.
I see.
You were going to testify against your husband?
Makes sense. Fits a pattern.
How do you figure?
After the big bust, Lloyd said it would look like I was doing a plea bargain to save myself, so they wouldn't suspect I set them up. That way I'd be safe.
Lloyd plans ahead. Deep strategy. Protects his CIs.
And he wouldn't reveal you as a source?
What in hell are you doing?
It would have worked, too. Except for that stupid chief of police and his bean counter start poking around.
Hey, man, you shouldn't be here.
And caught Lloyd with his hand in the honey jar.
But he didn't do anything wrong.
Why not? I'm innocent and so is she.
The only way he can clear his name is for you to testify that you're a confidential informant, U-30.
And if I testify, what then?
Well,
how did you find out she was being questioned?
Oh, give me a break. Every cop in this station knows she's being questioned. Do you realize the danger you put this girl in?
Maybe we can give you protection.
And my big bust is just about in the toilet.
You can't give me protection. Not yet.
We can. If we can make a case against your husband based on your testimony.
I need more time.
Unfortunately, unless you can prove that Unit 30 exists, you're out of time forever.
With what Lloyd has now, you'd be lucky to hold my husband overnight. And if he gets off, he will kill me.
We can put your husband on 24-hour surveillance.
They're lying to you. They can't.
Lay off.
What was that?
Look, Ms. Dodge, I don't think you understand the seriousness of the situation. If you won't cooperate, the only choice we have is to haul in your husband and try and cut a deal.
Is she out of her mind?
You can't talk to Daryl.
You're right, Constable Gray. One way or the other, we've got to get these charges clear.
They're trying to force her hand.
Please, you can't.
By threatening her life.
Yeah, well, Jolene's a fast learner, and that's how you do it.
Don't leave
right?
Him and don't talk
you
to
couldn't be more wrong.
So he is protecting a source.
Actually, he hasn't protected her at all. By forcing us to track her down, he's endangered her more than was necessary. Way more.
Hi, Charlie. You're not going to believe it.
I'm following the husband to make sure Peen's protected, and Hardin takes off with her.
Takes off with her?
We should have known. They've been meeting in the same hotel room every week for 6 months. I mean, I re-canvassed the desk clerks, and...
She stayed the night?
Every time her husband was out of town, they both stayed the night. So I call Kirk, and he goes down to Hardin's office to call him on it, and he's gone.
Meanwhile, I follow Daryl Dodge home, where the nosy neighbor tells him his wife is gone and describes the guy who picked her and her suitcases up.
The guy was Hardin?
That's right, Hardin.
As scummy as I said.
Is it scummy to try and protect a woman you love?
He's sleeping with a confidential informant. That's as scummy as it gets.
I had better be going.
No, wait, Betty. Don't go. I'm sorry. It's just that I'm frustrated. How are we going to find the guy?
Close the borders. Round up the usual suspects?
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep after Dodge. Malcolm, let's go.
Oh, I still got a couple of things to talk to Charlie about.
It can wait until morning. Sorry to break in unannounced, Betty.
Yeah. Charlie, call first thing.
I should go, too.
No, come on. Don't go. Come on, we'll have some tea and then I'll put together an omelet. A Spanish omelet and some fiddleheads.
You sure Lloyd took her?
Yeah.
The poor man.
I just don't get all this sympathy for a corrupt cop.
Maybe if you'd come to church with me, you'd start to understand.
Well, if that's what this is about, I'll come to church with you next Sunday, okay?
It would do you some good.
Well, fine, but remember, different people pray in different ways.
I know. And lately, I've been praying for the both of us.
I know.
Not now, Louis. I'm late for work.
Good morning.
I'm late.
Want me to drive you?
It's bad enough me slipping out of here in the morning. You dropping me off at the rectory office? I don't think so.
You're so mad at me?
I thought you had learned something about how to live. Now I don't know.
I've learned a lot about a lot of things in the last year. Mostly you taught me.
Then why take the same kind of suspicion you once felt for my community and direct it at a police officer?
Because I don't want anyone out there who isn't doing the job the way it's meant to be done.
Because you assume they aren't? You assume the worst and act on it.
Come on, Betty. Harden is reptilian. You can't really think he loves this woman or she loves him.
You know what Lloyd and I talked about the other night?
No.
Fishing. My father was a fisherman, like Lloyd.
I didn't know your father was a fisherman.
I was born on an island. So was he. Every weekend he can, he's on his lake fishing.
What lake?
Here's a place on Lake Simcoe, an island.
Where?
Jackson's Point, I think he said. Snake Island?
Excuse me a second. That's great, Betty. Thanks.
Pardon?
Thanks. Kirk, I think I got him. Jackson's Point. Good. See you there.
You make me feel like one of your snitches.
Oh, come on. If he's hiding out there, you just helped break this case.
That wasn't my intention. Call me when you're ready to hear what I've got to say.
Betty,
don't forget to feed the cat.
Have you ever been out to these little islands before?
Hardly even registered their existence.
Yeah, that's what makes them so great. 45 minutes from Toronto to the dock, and you start trolling on your way out. I used to wheedle a weekend out of my friends every chance I got.
You ever get to Harden's place?
Didn't even know he had one.
Pretty secretive guy, eh?
Yeah. Never even knew he had a CI in the side.
Well, we don't know that, Kirk. Not for certain.
Harden just broke up with his wife. I know that. Team's a beautiful lady in distress, and besides, that's them kissing on the dock. I rest my case. Right over there, kissing on the end of that dock.
Ray.
Hey, Jolene, guess what? Harden has a fishing cabin up on Lake Simcoe.
Where?
One of the little islands off Jackson's Point.
I just followed Daryl Dodge to Jackson's Point.
What's he doing?
He rented a boat.
What are you doing?
I can't follow him up the lake and not be spotted, so I'm waiting for him to come back. Malcolm, I just looked around the parking lot. I think McPhee's car is down at the far end.
Yeah, I told him already. See if you can find out if the guy at the marina...
Talk to Kirk? Knows where he's going?
No. Talk to Dodge and told him where Kirk was going.
Are you sure you guys won't have one?
I'd love to, but under the circumstances...
I've got no apologies to make. I love her, and I'm going to protect her whatever way I can.
Even when it means interfering with an ongoing investigation? Defrauding the force? And using your position to take sexual advantage...
Hold it, McMahon. That's not the way it was. Ever.
She's got a drug-dealing, brutal husband, and you hold her life in your hands. What you're doing is abusing that power.
You are totally out of it.
Pardon?
We're in love. Neither of us wanted it to happen. But it had to happen. We both knew.
So, what? Love at first sight?
I was following her 6 months before I even made contact. Fact is, I was in love by then. But Peen didn't... She didn't even know she was being followed.
But I did. I kept seeing him everywhere I went. After a while, I started thinking, what if he were to speak to me? I wanted him to speak to me. And then one day he did, and offered me a way out.
Okay, you fell in love, maybe. But that doesn't matter. You're his CI, and there are rules.
And they get broken all the time.
All this doesn't matter. You found us. Now I'll be under protective custody.
That's all I want.
I'm packed. While Lloyd gets ready, I'm going to breathe some clean air.
Okay, Lloyd. Let's do like the lady says.
Hello?
Charlie,
you know where Kirk is? We've been calling his cell phone.
Yeah, he's with me. We had the phones out because we were out on the lake.
The lake. Right. Just to confirm, where are you?
Snake Island, bottom of Lake Simcoe. We found out where Hardin and Mrs. Dodge...
Bad.
Why bad?
Jolene's been watching Dodge. He drove up to Lake Simcoe and he rented a boat.
You think he followed us?
Who followed us?
Pete! Pete, come into the... Pete! Oh, God! Pete!
Hardin, you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. The shots, where are they coming from?
The boathouse.
I can give you cover and fire. Get her back inside.
That doesn't matter. She's dead.
Damn. Jolene, you still there? You hear what's happening? Okay, as fast as possible. Okay, Lloyd. Jolene's calling the OPP, but it'll take a while for them to get here.
Yeah. Charlie, you armed?
No. You?
Yeah, I got my handgun. There's a rifle in the bedroom. The shells are in the kitchen drawer.
I'm on it.
Okay, Kirk. I want that covering fire now.
Right. On three. Get back inside.
Wrong. I'm going after him.
Don't be stupid!
I'm going into the bush on the right. In one, two, three.
Great. With fire out there, too, you can't return fire.
I know. I could hit the wrong guy.
Two boxes, 22 longs. Good. And the rifle...
Oh, shut! Charlie, keep low, passing the window. I got, like, maybe 10 rounds of my own left, tops.
Then don't waste them. But put a couple out front now.
What? Why?
To cover me going out the back door. Shoot high.
Charlie! Help!
Hold it.
Shush. Move. Softly. Have you seen...
Dodge.
Must have heard you. Move. Did you see him?
Yeah. I couldn't get a clear shot.
What's he doing?
He's hunting me. Now he's hunting you, too. Where's Kirk?
The cabin, I think.
Good. I hope he stays there. I just about shot you.
Dodge must have a boat somewhere nearby.
I found it. It's about 100 yards down the shore.
Well, the OPP should have a plane coming in soon. We just cover the boat
and
the...
wait.
If we can surprise him...
I don't want to just surprise him, Charlie. I'm going to kill him.
Well, if it comes to that, sure.
No, but... you don't know what he did. To Peem, how he treated her. Anyway, it's going to come to that.
Lloyd, you can't
Into the bush to the east and work him back toward the big pines. You could get a shot.
Lloyd, I won't...
Yeah, well, you probably won't have to, but you get the chance. Take him down.
All right.
Charlie!
Kirk, you okay?
Yeah. Listen, you got your cell?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, call the OPP. Tell him there's a badly wounded suspect in custody. Need to get him to T.O. fast as possible.
Okay, so, unaccustomed as I am to making speeches, I would like to personally congratulate Deputy Chief McPhee for his recent commendation.
Forget the commendation. Did you see the headline in the Sun? Deputy Chief takes down a killer. One day, I will rule. And Lloyd's going to be fine. He's been in narcotics too long anyway.
Yeah, me too.
So what's going to happen to the squad?
Their chief has appointed some administrative hotshot. Guy's a community spin doctor, near as I can tell. Anyway, he's the new detective in charge, Narcotics Central Division.
What's his name?
Jamie McLean.
Told me he wants to make a clean start. Just about everybody's going to get transferred out.
Relief. Can you hear the relief in my voice, Jolene?
Actually, I've been asked to stay on.
No way.
Way? I'm moving up.
What about Lloyd Hardin? After his suspension, will he go back to narcotics?
Not going to happen.
Lucky for him. Because the way the war on drugs is going, almost any other assignment offers him a better chance of getting ahead. Right, Jolene?
Malcolm, will you...
What about the money?
The money?
that he stole from the fund and gave to his girlfriend.
If Pym had survived, she was going to clear him.
But she can't, and the investigation has concluded. And as far as the Star and the Globe are concerned, Lloyd is this week's villain.
Yeah, a cloud like that can hang over your head for a long time in our business.
10 years for you.
Yeah, but then somebody forgave me.
Been listening to Buy and Sell, this week's episode of The Old Guy by Paul LeDuc. Featured in the cast tonight, Robert Haley as Charlie McMahon, William Colgate as Kirk, Ryan Rogerson as Malcolm, Karen Glaive as Jolene, and Arlene Duncan as Betty Parker. With them, you also heard Derek Boys as Lloyd Harton and Susan Aceron as Pym Dodge. The music was composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka. The recording engineer was Wayne Richards. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. Colleen Woods was the associate producer. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. The program was produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. Most series of The Mystery Project are available to you on CD. To find out how to order them, visit our webpage at cbc.ca/mysteryproject. And discover the link at the bottom of the front page called How to Purchase. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. See you next week.